Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, and this is Father's Day, and the title of the message is In Search of Our Homeland. And I'm going to give you some examples of some individual men and one lady of faith that I hope will challenge not just the men, but all of us that are here today. It says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. In search of our homeland. A man muses his loved ones with a predictable announcement when things are frustrating and he's going through perplexing times. And he sings out, This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Soon I'll be done with the troubles of this world, going home to be with God, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. The longing is simply for something that is more than a comfortable residence down here. I think all of us enjoy being in our home. I think all of us enjoy the fact of being able to be around family. But there's always something that's lacking down here. It's never really complete in this world in which we live. The longing is for a country where everyone shares the kind of protected and cared for feeling that we all desire in life. The writer of Hebrews wrote of people who were searching for a homeland where their faith could be fulfilled and where the promises of God could be claimed in full with an absence of evil and spiritual frustration. Our writer has created a faith hall of fame in the book of Hebrews, and he recalls those individuals who were known for their great faith. Even though they went through their life and they exercised great faith, but they did not receive their full reward down here. We're going to talk about five hall of famers this morning. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and that one lady, Sarah. They were all living according to the standards of a heavenly country, which at best they could hardly see. Brethren, all of us are here this morning and we're in search of heaven. We've not seen heaven. We've read about it. We've heard folks talk about heaven, but we've never been there. But we have a picture of what heaven is like. And so by faith, we are traveling that way, knowing that one day this life is going to come to a screeching halt, and one day we're going to stand before God, our Maker, and give an account for the life that we've lived down here. First of all, there's Abel. Do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? When they became adults, these first two children that Adam and Eve had developed personalities and habits in sharp contrast with one another. You see, the Bible tells us that they were different, and it kind of gives some consolation to us as parents, knowing that children that can be reared up in the same household and under the same guidelines and rules can turn out so different. Well, Cain was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. These were the only two professions in the world at the time, and these sons take different paths, even though reared in the same family. Now, Adam and Eve had been put out of the Garden of Eden, but they must have been spiritual, and they must have worshiped God, for these two boys knew that at harvest time they were to bring an offering to the Lord. Cain brought some of his crops from the field. Abel brought the very first lamb from his flock as an offering unto God. And the Bible tells us God was pleased with Abel's offerings, but not Cain's. Abel gave his best while Cain gave tokenism. And I think that's where a lot of folks are today. They're offering God not their best, but they're giving him a token of their love and appreciation. And God's response was that he accepted Abel's offering, but rejected Cain's. And so Cain got angry, you know, he got upset. He didn't like that. And so he got so upset that he lost control of himself and he slew his brother Abel. Now Abel serves as an example for others who would be faithful to God. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than did Cain, which was a result of his faith. And by faith, he still speaks. He is an example to us that are here today of an individual that was faithful unto death, and he is now in the presence of God enjoying the blessings of heaven. Amen. And that forever. Now, the standard of the heavenly country establishes the fact that God wants his people to be faithful and to give their very best to heaven. Abel, by faith, was reaching for a homeland that he did not know down here. Now, brethren, if this is all that there is, we'll be disappointed. But praise God, it is not all that there is. There is a better world. And I read about it, I think about it, I dream about it, I pray about it. I know there's a better place. Amen. And one of these days, like Abel, we're going to go there. And then there was Enoch. He is a grandson of Adam and the father of Methuselah, who lived to be the longest on the face of the earth, 969 years. Now, Enoch lived 365 years and was such a godly man that one day God took him home. Now, I've told this story, but the tradition says that Enoch walked with God in the cool of the evening, and they fellowshipped. One day they got closer to God's home than Enoch's home, and God said, "Enoch, why don't you just come on home with me?" In Genesis 5:24, it said he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That is, he spent his life in fellowship with God. And I think, my, what a eulogy. Wouldn't you like when it comes to the time that they put you in the ground and they read words over you that they say, he was a man that had fellowship with God. And he walked with God every day of his life. Why did Enoch please God so much? It was because of his faith. You see, Enoch was one that was faithful all the way until he experienced death. And the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that it is impossible to please God without faith. Now, brethren, I don't know about you, but I want the kind of faith that'll get me up every day to serve the Lord. I don't want to have good days and bad days. I want to be faithful every day because this may be the day the Lord comes. It may be that he'll come tomorrow, but he is coming. And we need to be ready to meet him. Enoch was so sold out to the way of life in the heavenly country that he was able to just step right into it. Aside from Jesus, no one on earth did a better job of living according to the heavenly ways than did Enoch. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Then the Bible tells us about Noah. Noah was a man that lived during a time of prevailing corruption and sin. And he was the only good man on the face of the earth that God could find. Now, I don't understand how things could get so corrupt so quick, but there was nobody on the face of the earth that loved the Lord. Nobody that was faithful. Nobody that loved God. But Noah. And the Bible tells us God decided that the creation of the human race was a catastrophe. And so what God decided to do is he was going to destroy all living from the face of the earth. He was going to scratch it all and start all over. And so, we see God finding one man that was faithful. One man that loved him, one man that served him, one man that was faithful. His name was Noah. He was an ordinary man, like-minded, like you and me. And God called him to build an ark. He said, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. All living will be destroyed. I want you to build an ark for the saving of your household. God was going to use this family to start all over again. I don't know about you. I really don't know just how Noah felt about this. If he really believed God was going to do this. And what God called him to do, to build that gigantic houseboat, it amazes me that he went ahead and did it. You know what the Bible said? He moved with fear. He moved with fear. And he built the ark for the saving of his household. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe you fear God and keep his commandments. I believe this morning that whatever God says is going to happen, it's going to happen that way. I wish there wasn't a hell, but the Bible said there is. I wish there was just a heaven, and the Bible says there is. But we've got a choice of where we're going to spend eternity. The folks of that day had a choice. I don't know just how it all came down, but I can visualize that as he built that ark, he was taunted, he was laughed at, he was mocked, But he believed God. Do you really believe God this morning that he's coming back again? If you believe, then live like you believe, 7 days a week. You know, I'm convinced that if I have faith, that faith is going to propel me to be faithful to do what God's called me to do. That's coming to church. That's doing the things that he's commanded me to do. You see, I just really believe that we're to live by faith, and God is going to examine our faith one day, just like he did that generation of people. God is going to examine. And those that are not ready, he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, Noah's faith condemned the world. You see, if you object, just like they objected, to God's security, his salvation, if you object to God's plan for your life, then you're going to follow your own plan, and that'll send you straight to hell. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. I can't say it any different, any better. I can't soften it up. If I'm going to tell you the truth, if you don't follow God's plan, you will spend eternity in hell, separated from him and all of his blessings. And that's a sad thing. That's what happened to the people of Noah's day. All they maybe were good people. Maybe they were good neighbors and all of that, but they rejected the Lord. The Bible said you must be born again. You must. I don't have the prerogative of saying, well, Lord, let me talk to you. It's his way or no way. And so I'm here to say this morning that the floods, the rains started coming down, the heavens opened up, and the water came in buckets and torrents, and the fountains of the deep broke up, and water was coming from every crack and crevice. Brethren, all of a sudden it began to rain. They had never seen rain. They didn't know that it would do that, and they thought Noah was a fool until it started to rain. Until the water started coming up out of the ground, they thought, now this won't happen, but it did happen. And he said, yet one more time, he's going to come and he'll destroy this world, not by water, because we have the rainbow, his testimony. It'll never happen again that way. But he said, the next time it'll be by fire. God knew that people were going to rebel. God knew that people would turn against him and the world would get more wicked and more wicked every day, just like it is today. Finally, God will say, it's enough. It's enough. And when that time comes, he'll call a screeching halt to everything down here, and he will come back and he will bring judgment. He will call all before him to account for the lives that they've lived down here, and judgment will come. Then there's Abraham and Sarah. It was by faith that God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees, out of Haran, and said, I want you to go in search of a land that I'm going to give you. And he said, it's a land of promise. I'm going to give it to you and to your inheritance, your heirs. And you'll be blessed, and you'll be a blessing. And so he gets up, and he takes Lot, you know, and he goes in search of that land. He didn't know where he's going. I'm going to tell you, I don't know exactly every step of my life. I don't know exactly where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven, and I know it's up, but I don't know. But by faith, I do know. By faith, I do know. You see, I'm convinced that, like I have stated before, that you never die. All you do is just breathe your last here and the next breath in that eternal world, either in heaven or in hell. And there's no other two places. And so it was that God called Abraham to go to Canaan in search of this homeland. And he went to that home and he stayed there for a while, but he didn't fully realize what God had in store for him. Because you see, the Bible said of Abraham, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Looking for a city. And he knew that he wouldn't find it down here. But he'd find it after a while up there. My gaze is down here, yes. But it's also up there. Because I know that's where we're going. Abraham was a man that lived by faith. He walked by faith. He served God all of his life. God made a promise. You remember to Abraham and Sarah? God told Sarah at 90 years of age by an angel, you're going to have a son. You know, she's worried about the heir. God says, you're going to have a son. And she laughed. And when she got caught, she said, oh, no, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. You can't lie to God. But you know, they laughed at the fact that it was impossible for something like that to happen. And they laughed because if it did happen, they'd really have something to laugh about. But God is faithful. Up in years, she gave birth to that son when she couldn't do it physically. But with God, everything's possible. And she had a son who was the heir that God promised that he'd send to them. God never welches on his promises, does he? Never lies. He always tells us the way that it is. If God said it, you believe it. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Now we're to look forward to that heavenly home. But as long as we're in this earthly home, we're to occupy until he comes. That is, we're to do his bidding. You're not here without any direction for your life. You're under orders. And he says, to occupy till I come, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Dads, men, God help us to be the prayer warriors. Help us to be the leaders in the home as a Christian, that we might lead our families in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Families are hurting. They need leadership. They need the direction that a Christian dad and mother can give. Our world is sadly lacking of what only God can bless and give us if we'll accept it and then use it for him. Would you bow with me for prayer?